Welcome to Healthy You, brought to you by the Greater Peoria Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine. Now here's your host, Kim Brooks Miller.
Welcome to Healthy You. I'm Kim Brooks Miller of Healthy Cells Magazine, the Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition, and your host. I hope you're all having a great weekend so far and appreciate your taking the time to join us. Our topic today is information on the pervasive silent crippler, otherwise known as peripheral arterial disease, or also called PAD, P-A-D. My special guest is Dr. James Williams of the Cardiac, Thoracic, and Endovascular Therapies Group. With more than 30 years of surgical experience, he is considered a pioneer in endovascular surgery in Central Illinois. Nationally recognized as an innovator, he has given numerous national and international presentations and has provided training and proctoring for other physicians. Dr. Williams is board certified in three surgical specialties: cardiothoracic, vascular, and general. He is a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and member of the International Society of Endovascular Specialists. In addition, Dr. Williams is a member of several national and international professional associations and has authored articles and publications. He has been a principal investigator in six clinical trials for aortic endografting. Dr. Williams is particularly proud of the fellowship training he developed for surgeons from around the country. So welcome to the show, Dr. Williams.
I am delighted to be here. Thank you.
Well, with your busy schedule, it's really a thrill to have you come to the studio and be with us this morning. Now, what is peripheral arterial disease?
It is a disease process that affects arteries and veins within the body. Some patients have a tendency to call blood vessels veins in a general sort of a terminology, but you have two kinds of blood vessels: arteries that take blood away from the heart that carries oxygen and nutrients, and veins, which are the blood vessels that take the blood back to the heart. So peripheral arterial disease or peripheral vascular disease can actually affect both arteries and veins.
That is interesting. Now, why might you call it the pervasive silent crippler?
Well, because it can affect just about every blood vessel in the body. We call it peripheral to designate the obstructions in arteries other than those in the coronary circulation, the blood supply to the heart. So that leaves just a lot of territory to cover. It can affect blood vessels that supply blood to the brain, to the arms, to the kidneys, to the stomach, to the feet. So it is pervasive throughout the body. It's silent because it may take many years to manifest its symptoms. And then you will have no symptoms for many, many, many years, and then all of a sudden you'll come up with a black toe or a transient neurological event, a TIA, or your first manifestation may be a stroke.
Wow, that's amazing. So it can do a variety of things to you.
Correct.
So now, when should someone seek medical help or know to get medical help?
I think that if there is any question, first of all, in anyone's mind, do I have peripheral arterial disease or peripheral vascular disease, peripheral venous disease, they should just ask their family doctor to take a look at them. Most of the time, the diagnosis can be made by a simple physical examination. So if you have that question of having the disease, if you have a family history of disease, go to your family doctor and say, I need to be evaluated for this. I'm concerned about it. I think that if you were to ask the physicians who treat peripheral vascular disease, peripheral arterial disease in this region, none of them need referrals. I'm sure that if you wanted to make an appointment, if you had a question, you just pick up the phone and get an appointment and come in and let somebody look at you.
Right, and that's always smart to do that.
Yes.
Better be safe than sorry. So is PAD curable?
It is not. It is a disease that certainly, though, can be controlled. We don't have a pill. We don't have a procedure that will do away with the disease process, but it is a disease that is affected first and foremost by a lot of different risk factors. And the good thing is that if you control your risk factors, you can really control the disease progression.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about those risk factors a little bit later. So now, about how many people are affected with this disease?
Well, the benchmark, the number that everybody uses is 10 to 12 million people. That's what you see in publications.
Wow.
That's what you see, the number that's given by all the people that make devices or who produce clinical trials to study this process. But I personally think that it's many times higher than that because, as we said at the beginning of this, it's pervasive and it's silent, and a number of people may have it for a very long time before they show up and are counted. So
right.
I think it's much higher, the number, mm-hmm. actually.
And they don't know.
They don't know.
Because they don't see the symptoms. Now, let me ask you this. Is one gender more prevalent to have?
It used to be thought so, that it was more prevalent in men than women. I think that it is becoming more prevalent, sort of equiprevalent among the genders. And I think it has to do with women smoking more, women having more pressure in their lives in the workplace, women just coming to the forefront in our society and having a lot of the same stresses and risk factors that men used to be accountable for.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to equality, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, in doing research for the program, I've read that PAD is more prevalent than cancer.
True.
Okay, and why?
Well, I don't know that I can give you a simple answer as to why it's more prevalent. I think it has a lot to do with our lifestyles, a lot to do with our heredity, a lot to do with the fact that it simply is not recognized and treated more effectively earlier in its course.
Mm-hmm. Can one be genetically tested for PAD?
There are certain tests that one can do for certain diseases. For example, for Marfan's disease, one can do tests to see if you have a propensity to clot on the venous side or if you can be tested for high blood lipids. I don't think there is a particular disease or a specific marker that you can just test for that says, yes, I've got peripheral vascular
mm-hmm.
disease.
Mm-hmm. I just wondered about that because I know that, my father's always been big into genetic testing about things. And, you know, if it's something in following family histories, that if mother has it or father has it, chances are you might have it.
No question that it is passed down from generation to generation. If both parents have it, you've got a really substantial chance of having it. Particularly when we keep getting back to this, particularly if you don't watch the risk factors.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, we're going to be talking about the risk factors in a moment here. We're going to take a quick break. My special guest today is Dr. James Williams of the Cardiac, Thoracic, and Endovascular Therapies. And I'm Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine. We'll be right back.
Dr. James Williams and his professional team at the Cardiac, Thoracic, and Endovascular Therapies SC specializes in minimally invasive treatment of vascular disease, also providing standard surgical treatment options for vascular issues like arterial aneurysms, blood clots, carotid artery disease, peripheral arterial disease, PAD, and treatment of venous disorders of the legs. Cardiac, Thoracic, and Endovascular Therapies offers easy-in, easy-out service advantages with admission, treatment, recovery, and discharge all in the same state-of-the-art facility, meaning less stress, no required fasting, and less expense for you and your insurance carrier for vascular intervention. Call 309-680-5000 for your appointment or visit cvendo.com. The Cardiac, Thoracic, and Endovascular Therapies offers four convenient locations to serve you in Peoria, Peru, Princeton, and Streeter, Illinois. Call today, 309-680-5000.
The Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine is a monthly professional publication dedicated to promoting healthy lifestyles. Healthy Cells Magazine brings you the latest information from respected physicians and other health-related professionals in regards to exercise, nutrition, emotional health, and overall current be-in-the-know related information. Pick up your free copy of Healthy Cells Magazine at over 800 medically related offices and retail locations in the greater Peoria metro area, or find them on Facebook at Healthy Cells Peoria.
And welcome back to Healthy You. It's so great to have you with us this morning. My special guest is Dr. James Williams, and he is talking about PAD, also known as the peripheral arterial disease. Dr. Williams, we were talking about the risk factors earlier. Can you share those again that are associated with the disease?
Absolutely. Risk factors, I like to think of, are the things in your life that you have control over. You can't control your parents. You can't control your genetics, but there are a lot of things in life that you can control. Whether or not you have and are controlling high blood pressure, cigarette smoking, or tobacco use is the big one. The control of diabetes, high blood lipids, which can be controlled by diet, mm-hmm. as well as by medication. And any prior history of peripheral vascular intervention, you can't control having had that, but it can certainly make you aware that you need to pay attention for signs and symptoms of peripheral arterial disease. And you might be surprised that a number of people really need to be educated as to what the symptoms of peripheral arterial disease might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that. In talking about this disease, what about ethnicity?
There is some evidence that among blacks and Hispanics that there is a higher prevalence of peripheral arterial disease. I think it has a lot to do with, once again, risk factors. There's a lot of untreated hypertension in the black population.
Right.
There are certain dietary issues with Hispanics. They tend to use a lot of unsaturated fats in mm-hmm. the preparation and consumption of their diet. Makes it taste really good, but it's really bad for your arteries.
Right.
The big thing, the two big things that I would stress is that a lot of people go through life and have high blood pressure, and they never really know it because you don't really feel anything with high blood pressure or hypertension. But hypertension has a big role in causing plaques to form and causing the arterial wall to be injured. So high blood pressure is certainly something that needs to be looked for and treated. Blood sugars, high blood sugars, glucose and hemoglobin in the body. Hemoglobin is, of course, one of the main components of the red blood cell. Those two interact together to form a very toxic compound that causes injury to the arterial wall. It's been shown that if you control both of these things, high blood pressure and the blood sugar level, that you can really bring or neutralize a lot of the risk factors associated with having those two things sort of out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't say enough about the use of tobacco. Frankly, I've been a surgeon for 30 years. I've treated tons and tons of people. I wouldn't have a job if people didn't smoke. And that's the single biggest thing that people have control over. You can smoke or you cannot smoke. And there are a lot of pressures to smoke. Smoking is the single biggest risk factor that's associated with peripheral vascular disease.
Wow. So if people just cut that out, that would be a huge, I mean, just not for PAD, but for a lot of different
Absolutely.
Health issues.
Yes, ma'am. No question about it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, earlier you mentioned some of the symptoms of how people might realize that they have this disease. Can you go into more detail about some of the symptoms and how someone might recognize if they
Sure.
have PAD?
Sure. Let's say, for example, that you have an obstruction in the arteries that supply blood to your brain, the carotid arteries. A symptom of that might be a transient neurological event called a TIA, a transient ischemic attack. And what that means is that you have an event or a symptom that comes on and it goes away after a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between a completed stroke and a transient ischemic attack is that the transient ischemic attack comes and goes. It's the same symptoms of a stroke, but they don't come and stay. can be a transient loss of vision in one eye, can be transient weakness of an arm or a leg, transient difficulty with swallowing or with speaking. These things can be very subtle in terms of facial symmetry, mm-hmm. or swallowing or things like that. But family members who pay attention to this sort of thing are very helpful, who come in and say, Dad's face drooped, or he was garbling his speech a little bit. And the family, the patient might not want the family member saying that,
sure.
but they're very helpful in providing that history. With regard to the legs, the symptoms that one gets when you walk, if you get pain in your calf or your thigh or your buttocks that mm-hmm. comes on consistently with exercise, let's say walking to the mailbox and back, you always get a pain in your calf that stops and goes away very quickly. The key is that when you stop the activity, the symptom goes away very quickly. That tends to reinforce that the problem is related to obstruction of the blood vessel and not to some other things that might mimic those symptoms.
So it wouldn't be like a cramp, which kind of goes on for a bit. I mean, you have to rub your leg to kind of snap out of it, right?
Correct. So we do have people who ask about that, who come in and say, I have Charlie horses in the middle of the night, or I have things that wake me up in the middle of the night. My muscles get real tight, but it goes away if I massage them. These are generally related to exercise, to doing things, to walking, to climbing stairs, to going down to get the mail, to mm-hmm. playing with the dog.
Normal daily activities.
Absolutely. And we also, what we find is that people, as they get older, if they have symptoms, they may tend to minimize them by doing less. They know that it causes them pain to go to the mailbox, so they ride the golf cart. Or they don't get the mail, or they do something to limit their daily activities on the basis of obstructions in the blood vessels.
Wow, which isn't good for them because they need to have exercise.
Correct. And this goes back to that insidious, silent, pervasive aspect of this disease. It makes you give things up. It takes things away from you without you really intending it or recognizing it many times.
Mm-hmm.
What we see, too, are people who at the end stage who have been giving into this for quite a while, who get to the point where now they're having bad pain at rest, or they have a hard pain in their foot, or they cut their toenails and the wound doesn't heal, or they have the tip of their toe becomes black and that color doesn't go away.
Like a gangrene
kind of deal? Yes, like early gangrene, gangrenous changes of the skin. These are things that that occur, and I think many of us try to not deal with this sort of issue, that we don't want to be sick. We don't want things bad to be happening to us. But a number of people will present with gangrenous changes of their toes or difficulty with things healing after simple things mm-hmm. like just clipping their nails.
That's amazing. You know, I was just thinking one of the things that you said as far as symptoms is the aging process. And I think a lot of people probably just say, oh, I'm getting older, and they just suck it up, so to speak.
That's
they think
right.
that's part of the aging process.
No question
and
about
just,
it.
Yeah, and part of that is pride.
Most of it's pride. And they don't want to be don't want to be a burden to people. They don't want to be cause their children any inconvenience. One
right.
of the things I like about being in the Midwest, though, is that the families tend to be big. And I love it when I see people come in the waiting room and there's 10 family members in the waiting room and they all brought mama to the doctor. You know that you got a lot of support in that circumstance and things are going to turn out good.
Yeah, that's great. And support is huge
totally.
With something like this. So let's talk about diagnosis. How would someone go about finding out if they had PAD or not?
Very good question. The simplest way to diagnose the problem is to have a professional look at it. You can see it. I can tell across the room if somebody's got peripheral vascular disease. However, if doctors are not or healthcare providers are not comfortable doing that, there are a number of very simple non-invasive tests that tell you whether or not you have peripheral vascular disease, all of them using ultrasound or blood pressure measurements to see if the blood pressure is normal in the foot or if there are segmental drops in blood pressure down the leg. For example, if you have a blood pressure of 120 in the thigh and 60 in the calf and 40 at the ankle, that would indicate that you have obstructions at multiple levels in the limb. Mm. And it's a simple test. Blood pressure and using Doppler are not invasive. They don't hurt the patient. They're done quickly, and they're very accurate.
Mm-hmm. Now, the thing I came to mind while you were talking is if somebody came into their regular GP thinking that maybe they've had a stroke, could it easily be overlooked, the pad?
Yes. If it's not looked for, it can't. Yeah, absolutely, it can be overlooked. And if the symptoms come and go, let's say that mom or dad had difficulty with speech earlier that day, and it went away. Well, by the time you get to the doctor, the patient has no trouble speaking, and they don't really want to talk about it too much. And so yes, it can be very difficult to diagnose if you're not persistent in your history taking and you don't pay attention to the people who bring the patient in.
Mm-hmm.
We also talked a little bit about the non-invasive means of making a diagnosis, but if there's any question, the gold standard to test whether or not you have peripheral arterial disease is to do an invasive procedure called an arteriogram. That's where you put a small tube in the artery in the proper setting, of course, inject dye and take pictures. It provides a roadmap of the blood vessels. The risk is very, very low, but it is the gold standard. It is never wrong in terms of telling you whether or not you have peripheral vascular disease.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what are some of the approaches to treating peripheral arterial disease?
Well, we try first and foremost to establish a good program of diet and exercise and medical therapy. There are certain drugs such as aspirin, treatment of lipids. We try to use those medicines, and they're very effective, I might add, in controlling some of these risk factors and the progression of plaque. The treatment has developed over the last 30 years of experience from one of a primarily surgical approach, a bypass approach, to one which is now principally catheter-based. That is, balloons and stents are used. They're introduced into the body through a very small needle hole entry,
mm-hmm.
Where these devices are introduced temporarily, placed in the middle of the obstruction, inflated, the obstructions are relieved, and stents are placed to hold the blood vessel open. So these are outpatient procedures. Surgery, of course, used to require a general anesthetic and 3 or 4 or 5 days in the hospital. Now, 80-90% of what I do as an outpatient, and people come in and go home.
And you have a beautiful operational suite at your practice.
I've
been there. For our listeners, if you think you might have this, you know, please do give Dr. Williams' office a call or be referred, because his office is set up wonderfully where you can come in. It's easy parking, easy access, and everything is right there that you need. And yeah, and he's got a great staff to boot. And, you know, the other thing, too, I wanted to mention to the listeners, Dr. Williams, is that he has an article about PAD in Healthy Cells. So if you want to read more about this, just go to Healthy Cells. Either pick up a magazine or, you know, you can go online and at healthycellsmagazine.com and you'll find it. Now, if left diagnosed, Dr. Williams, what might happen to someone who has PAD?
What we're trying to do, of course, and this is a very good question, left untreated for arterial disease, not venous, ultimately it can result in loss of the limb. The loss of the limb is difficult from an emotional perspective. It's also difficult from a lifestyle perspective, and it also shortens one's life, I'm convinced.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately what we're trying to do is prevent the loss of a limb.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly it is possible, if diagnosed and treated early enough, for limb loss not to occur.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any final words of advice? You know, our show's about wrapped up here. So any final words of advice you'd like to share with our listeners?
Don't smoke.
Okay. That is just huge, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, ma'am. You bet it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you heard it straight from an expert, and that's why we have him on air today. So, Dr. Williams, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about PAD or peripheral arterial disease. And like I said, look up his article in Healthy Cells magazine. And for more information, if you do have questions, you can contact the Cardiac, Thoracic, and Endovascular Therapies. Their number is 309-680-5000. Let me repeat that for you. 309-680-5000. Now, also, you can visit their website at CVENDO, and it's .com. And so if you just type that in, C as in cat, V as in vendor, E as in elephant, N as in no, D as in doctor, O as in orange, .com, you'll be able to find more information about Dr. Williams. And he also has a following locations where he practices, not only in Peoria, but in Peru, Princeton, and Streeter, Illinois. So again, Dr. Williams, thank you for coming on
air. My pleasure. Thank you for asking.
And thank you to everyone who tuned in this week and for sharing your time with us. This is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine, hosting Healthy You. Be sure to pick up your copy today at one of our over 800 locations. And now you can read the magazine online and have it sent monthly to your email. Just go to healthycells.com, select the Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition, and sign up. And also be sure to visit and like us on Facebook, too. We now have over 2,000 likes, thanks to all of you. And also, just to give you a heads up, Healthy You will also be coming to you not only on AM, but FM station, 97.7, and that is coming soon. So stay tuned for more updates. God bless you and be in your best health. No, we look forward to being with you again next Saturday.